Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Milan Jurkovic, Dr. Sherry Keffer, Chris Williams, and Dr. Alice Benton. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Well, hi, everybody, and a big old happy Wednesday to you. Hope you're having a great day here today, and we're having a great day. Dr. John Townsend has joined us and with Dr. Jill Hubbard there in the studio in Lake Forest, California. Hi, guys. How you doing?
We're doing good.
We're doing good. Glad to be here.
You better mute that little thing there on the phone there. We always love the echo thing there. Yeah. And echo
nice
throughing.
Touch. Makes me feel like I'm on an iPhone.
Yeah, echoing through my mind is something I have been meaning to talk to John about for a long time. John, here's something I want to talk to you about. I mentioned this to somebody the other day. You've got the Leadership Institute, and you can get a degree in organizational leadership. And I tell you, that's an amazing thing. It's a combination of psychology, counseling, leadership, and all of this. But here's what I said that I hope everybody studying organizational leadership does. It seems to me like the biggest thing in a person's life is whether or not they're organized. And if you're not organized, you'll never be a leader of any organization. You know, that little organization thing of like, here's where this goes, here's where I file this, here's how I remember to do this. Yeah. Just being organized is such a big challenge for so many people. I'm not talking about this because it is for me, of course, but
that executive function,
yeah. Organization in organizational leadership, it's a big deal. But you guys do a lot more than just teach that. Well, what are some of the
more
things
at a macro level?
Like in your Leadership Institute, what are some of the things that you would teach somebody about organizational leadership? What would they be studying?
Well, we take what we call a holistic approach, Steve, because people can get a master's in org leadership online or a credential in org leadership or coaching or counseling. And the holistic approach means we just follow the research. What we found out about really successful leaders and people is that they have two qualities. One is that they have lots and lots of competencies and skills. They know how to establish vision, establish a plan, be strategic. And the one you're talking about is called execution, which is not the hot, sexy one. You know, that's where the hare beats that's where the tortoise beats the hare. But you will not succeed if you don't learn how to execute well. But the other side of it, beside all the task sorts of strategic things, is your insight, your people skills, your EQ, your emotional intelligence, how you relate, how you listen, and how you inspire people. So the holistic approach we use is we train people in the program to be not only a people person, but a highly responsible task person. It's called the competency plus character model. If you're competent and you got character, your organization will win, and we take you through the process.
I love it. And, rather than study organizational leadership from a halfistic approach, you can do holistic with John's group. And John, if somebody's interested in that and all that you're doing there, what's a great website or phone number or whatever?
What do they do? Google townsendinstitute.com and you'll get there. Our newest class, our fall class, is launching on, I think, early August. So we're almost there, but you can still get in. Just call them and say, I'm interested anywhere in the world because we're online. We'll take you, and it'll be a great experience. We're getting great, great reviews from the students.
Well, as I mentioned last time you were on last week, I was doing some teaching with the Institute there, and I was listening to John before I taught respond to the students. And, he's responding with the wisdom and the insight that John Townsend has, and you don't find that anywhere else. So if you're going to get a degree, boy, what a great thing to do it with. Well, I think John is one of perhaps the three wisest people on the planet, and the other one's Santa Claus, and then there's another guy. So you can't beat the wisdom that John has. And call him.
You're in good company,
go there.
John.
Look at it.
Ho, ho, ho.
Look into it. And if you don't know how to look into it, just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll get you to the right place for the Townsend Institute. We'll be back right after this with your phone calls.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Oh, sorry. Yes. We are back. Fine. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here with your phone calls. And we're going to go right to the phones. A lot of times we mess around. We're not going to do that right here. So let's go to Terry, Fresno, California. How you doing, Terry?
Hi.
Welcome to New Life. You're on with Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard. What's going on?
Thank you. I need some help in learning to forgive a pastor who has betrayed me.
Oh, gosh.
What did this pastor do?
Well, this pastor divided the church in half, basically, and half the congregation left.
Okay. So be specific. And tell me what's going on.
He wanted to control everything and didn't allow any discussion or dissension.
Okay.
And my husband and I were very gentle, and I believe we were very Christian-like. And we had a private meeting with him, according to Matthew 18.
Yes, okay.
That was later... members of the church board later repeated words to us from that meeting, which means he didn't keep it confidential.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
And we were severely chastised and chewed out, never given the opportunity to express our side.
Right.
I, at one point, asked that for the people who had been ostracized and were trying to meet at another location, I suggested at a business meeting that we love and support them according to Luke 6, 24, I think it is, you know?
Okay.
Pray for those
So what is the question for us, given that you had a very controlling guy and things just kind of turned against you and you were just trying to do the right thing? What's the question for us?
How do I forgive him when he sat there and told us he didn't want us to be at his church anymore?
Well, now...
How do I forgive?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let's look at the reality of a pastor like that that wants to control everything wouldn't want somebody at their church who didn't want him to control everything, right? It has nothing to do with you.
Congregation left.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with you. It has to do with his really crummy problem that he has. And I believe a person like that who is hyper-controlling, has no accountability. I mean, I wrote about it in Toxic Faith, which I'm going to send you a copy of that book, but they don't deserve to be in a leadership position. But let's start with you, John. She's talking about forgiveness. Is that the thing she needs to be working on? What do you think is the relevant stuff for this situation? Very sad.
Yeah, very sad. Terry, I'm sorry for the struggle. Let's go back to the word forgiveness and what the Bible teaches. When we say, how do I forgive, it's sort of like saying some things are forgivable and some things aren't, but yet actually everything's forgivable. Because the nature of forgiveness is that it takes someone who doesn't deserve forgiveness and cancels the debt. That's what it means. So there's really no how do I forgive, because God forgave oodles, whether it's a traffic violation or a mass murder, everything's forgivable. So I want to take that off the table, because all that is forgiveness. It's just a cognitive choice to say, I'm canceling the debt. I don't want revenge on you. I don't think that's really the deeper issue of why how I'd be feeling had I made the call. I think there's a big, big difference between forgiving someone and healing from someone. I would like for you to enter the valley of healing. You've been damaged. You trusted someone. It was a shepherd.
It's devastating.
It's devastating. And forgiveness just says, okay, I don't want him to, you know, burn. I mean, I've done that in my head. But in my heart, I don't trust anymore. I feel betrayed. I feel overwhelmed. I think you need to go through a healing process with someone wise, maybe a therapist or a good spiritual director, and say, how do I rebuild my trust in other people? I wrote a book called Beyond Boundaries, which talks about reestablishing trust. And that's the number one thing in pastoral betrayal is trust. And how do you rebuild those building blocks of trust? Jill, what was your...
Well, and this is an authority figure. So that's, you know, even more wounding. And it's you personally where you went to him. And Terry, I mean, you're trying to follow the biblical model. You were trying to do what's right. And here's someone that you have looked to as a leader. So I think that is kind of like a double betrayal, you know, when you look
really
up
is.
To someone. Yeah. And I think to remember and piggyback on what you're saying, John, is that in Romans, when it talks about as far as it depends on you, be at peace with one another. And so you're doing your part.
There you go.
And that's all that you can do. You can't do his part. And this is clearly someone who was wanting to, you know, stay with his vision, his plan, and make you bad. And there was no meeting in the middle. So now is the healing. What do you do when someone isn't willing to hear you or see your side of things?
And I'm going to send you Toxic Faith, because let me tell you, there are two roles in there that you don't ever want to fall into. And you guys didn't. One is enabling someone like this. You know, you just don't do anything. The other is being a perpetrator of it. You know, the people under him know it's not right the way he's leading. And so they perpetrate this for their own power or whatever. But you became the role that I say is the most honored role in a toxic faith situation like this. You became the outcast. He said, go away. I don't want to be around you. So John, what John's saying is, I think the bigger issue, how do you heal from the hurt? Well, first, try to understand how these things happen. And then secondly, grieve that loss.
A lot of grief.
Yeah.
A lot of grief.
And then thirdly, and this is what I did. I walked out of a toxic church, and then I went to Denny Bellessi's church, and he was so
healing.
Denny
Bellessi is awesome.
And he said, you know, he said, here's what I want you to do in our church. Nothing. I want you to heal. I want you to receive ministry. And that's the kind of situation that you want to get into, so that you're not judging all churches by this really crummy situation or refusing to engage because you don't want to get hurt again. I hope that this book's going to help you. It's Toxic Faith. And I'll send you John's book, Beyond Boundaries, too. I think that'll be a blessing to you. So hold on. We'll get your address and we'll get that to you. We've mentioned it before. I'll mention it again. We've got an amazing, amazing, wonderful workshop coming up. Sacramento, August the 11th, Every Man's Battle. We do it every month. And you go online, you can see some of these stories of guys that were hopeless, helpless, no intention of changing, and somebody said either go or it's over or something like that, and everything became different. If you need help or someone you know needs help, call us about the Every Man's Battle weekend. All right, let's go to Karen, Jacksonville, Florida, WTRJ. Hi, Karen. Welcome. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Great. How can we help?
I have a big problem. I've been married for 22 years, and my husband is wonderful, but there's just one problem. I can't get him to work.
Okay.
He knows that... I've been the breadwinner for almost 10 years now, and I make enough to cover the bills, but then that's it. And then we still live paycheck to paycheck, and he's fine with that.
Okay, I got a question for you real quick before you go on, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Just help me with it. if I was married to somebody and that person just did nothing and knew we need to have some additional money coming in here, and that man did nothing, it would be hard for me to describe that person as wonderful.
Yeah, that was kind of a disconnect, Karen.
Yeah, because wonderful, well, that's, you know, that's got a lot of different elements to it. And a person that doesn't work has a character problem that is not too wonderful. And here's the thing that gets me. He doesn't care about the impact that it has on you. And wonderful people really look at, what is the impact of my behavior on other people?
That's so funny you said that, Steve, because, Karen, my thought was, as you were going into the narrative, I thought it was going to be, you know, but he's trying a million things, and he doesn't finish things. Yeah. He's sort of ADD, and I had my strategy in place.
Right.
And then you go, and he's happy that way, and I went, oh, we've got a different problem here.
Yeah, so he's not been working for 10 years?
Well, there's a couple things. He's always worked hard prior to that.
Okay.
But he had some situations where he had a back injury and he couldn't work for a long time. And
sure.
Okay.
It almost seemed like he was getting depressed from the injury because he would be up all night.
With pain.
Night after night in severe pain. And then I would say just clear, he finally got past that where he was no longer in pain, and he's certainly capable of working about 5 years ago, but it seemed like there was still a depression problem, and I was just kind of guessing. I talked to some friends of mine, and they were questioning his age, and they were saying maybe hormone problems, and I definitely got him to a doctor where they tested him, and they said his hormones were very low, and it was playing a huge play in his mood. Mm-hmm. So once we got that leveled out, it was about 3.5 years ago now.
Okay. So what's the question? What's the question for us then? What do you want us to help you with?
Well, I had a hard time confronting him about this and saying, come on, honey, everything's fine now. You're physically okay. Your hormones are imbalanced. And what do I need to do to help you? And I think what helped the most is when I confronted him and read the scripture about, I'm going to quote this wrong, but it talks about for a man who is a Christian to not see about taking care of their family is worse than a man who does not know the Lord.
I got another one. If a man will not work, he will not eat. That's in 1 Thessalonians. Or
unless he's married to somebody. Well, unless he's married to somebody to take care of it. So you know, and you end up
in the Bible about this stuff.
Well, you end up in these situations where he doesn't have a problem. You have a problem, you know, and he doesn't sense that he has a problem. He's just thinking, well, she just needs to make more money, or she needs to work harder, or whatever. And so we got to get him to see he does have a problem. So what's the last time? What happened the last time you talked to him about this? What went on?
Well, he just said, "Oh, great! Sounds like I'm just a loser." Then and so.
Oh, you confront me, and now I'm a victim, and now you've got to comfort me because you told me the truth, and now it's your problem for saying the truth to me because I'm being victimized. That's a pretty classic pattern.
Yeah.
Which
so
would keep you backed off.
You don't know what to do. So what do you think?
Well,
what do you think?
Jill's making extensive notes here, and I'm very curious to see what she says.
I think you have to, you know, speak with him again, Karen. Mm. And I think you have to let him know that you have, you know, you wholeheartedly support him. You have tried to be really understanding through everything that he's gone through. But you don't understand.
But you can't say, after all I've done for you. We're not doing that.
Oh, okay. Right. No, after all he's... You're right. Right.
We don't do that one.
No. After all I've done for you. And you're willing to walk beside him, but you are feeling like he isn't willing to walk beside you. And you don't understand what's going on.
There you go.
Is he afraid? And if so, what is he afraid of? And that it hurts you that he's not willing to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that even though I know there are, you guys, there are lots of stay-at-home moms, but, you know, we moms tend to work 20, 24/7,
absolutely.
Right? And it is a bit of a double standard. But women respect men more that work. That's just the way it is. It's a reality. And so you want to honor and respect him. And it's hard at times when you know that he's okay and there's still a roadblock.
Right.
And you have to just lovingly, and when he throws back at you, oh, now I'm a loser, I'm sorry if that's what you heard me say, because that's not what I think.
Well,
and that makes me sad that you would think that about yourself.
Yeah. And, you know, there is this great verse, when you wink at wrong, you cause trouble, but an open rebuke brings lasting peace. So what I would do is I would tell him, you've become so concerned about this, you talk to some people on a radio program about it. Would he go with you and talk to a counselor about it? Because, see, here's the, it's a symptom, horrible symptom, of radical disconnection in your marriage. And you need to get reconnected. And then this becomes one of many problems that you start to work on together.
Right. The not working is creating a lot of other problems, too, for him. He doesn't
boundaries
feel
in marriage.
Him.
Boundaries in marriage coming your way. We'll be back after this.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., September 8th through the 10th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them, whether they're positive or negative. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Dr. John Townsend is the Townsend Leadership Program that you can be a part of. And, John, just tell them one more time how to become part of the John Townsend Leadership Program. What is that?
A leadership program is a peer-based program. We have directors around the country for people that want to learn how to be better leaders. And they don't. There's the academic degree, which is the institute, but then there's the non-academic degree where I just want to learn skills like people skills and strategic skills and money skills. And you do it in small groups around the country with people we've trained. And so we help people learn to listen better, direct people better. Give them role clarity, help them establish the mission once a month in a small group intensive process, holistic process, sort of in the state of their choice. And so just go to Townsend Leadership and you'll find out how to join a team.
And we believe in that here. Some of our board members are a part of that. I work with people all the time who are meeting with it. Some of the first people I ever met here in Indianapolis were part of that program, still are. So that's pretty exciting.
Okay, we got somebody in our studio here that is a graduate, Audrey, from one of the first classes we ever had in Southern California. And she's here at the studio today saying hi to everybody. And she's a great leader in Southern California. Very, very accomplished in real estate.
See, and that's why she's so accomplished. She can take off and come into the studio.
She's not doing anything anymore. So,
yeah. Hey, and how do they get in touch with that leadership program? Well, where do you go?
Drtownsend.com, drtownsend.com.
Drtownsend.com. And if you can't remember that, then the whole thing probably wouldn't work out anyway. So here we go. Let's take a final. Well, no, not a final. We can do more than this. We got lots of time. But hang on. We're going to try to get to everybody's call here. And I want to go to Tom from Holland, Michigan. I went there many years ago. They gave me some wooden shoes in Holland, Michigan. I still have
wooden
them.
Shoes.
It's pretty amazing. All right. How you doing? How's it going, Tom?
Oh, pretty good. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help?
Well, I just need some direction on where to go with my son. He seems like he just wants to be so independent that he doesn't listen to, well, we try to give him advice, but then he just turns it around and says we're telling him what to do. And he's 26 right now, just turned 26 this month,
26.
And he's living at home, which things have changed. I mean, back when I was his age, he moved out. But the way it is now, everybody stays home until they get married. But,
now, that isn't true now. That's not true. Not everybody. And isn't it ironic that a 26-year-old who really wants to be independent is still living at home? You know, kind of a strange thing to do. You want to be independent, but you're living at home.
Yeah, well, the thing is, he doesn't do things that he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just, that's the irresponsible part of him also.
Yeah,
and that's a big problem of where we're at now, because he's had a DUI in the past couple years, and that kind of toned him down a little bit. But he's still to the point of drinking.
Okay, well, and, you know, here, Tom, let me interrupt you real quick, because John has written this book, Entitlement Cure. So I want to get to your question. You couldn't have called on a better day than for us to have John Townsend in here. And I'll just make this one little comment. It's so interesting when somebody has something bad happen, it might get them to cut back on something or quit something. But that's not going to be the thing that builds character. That's going to have to be something else. But what's the question John could start us off with? Because the Entitlement Cure, and we're going to send the Entitlement Cure to you, it is written for 26-year-olds still living at home, getting drunk,
or the driving. Parents or the parents of those 26.
Yeah, yeah.
26-year-olds won't read it, but the parents love it.
Right. So, what's the question?
Well, he's at the point now where he got in an accident with his truck, and being irresponsible like he is, that he didn't open up envelopes that come in the mail, which one was from his insurance company, saying that they dropped him because there was no money in the bank, you know, that he figured there was, but he spends the money like, well, he doesn't know where it goes. So now he's dropped.
All right, Tom, that's a narrative. Ask us a question.
Yeah, what's that question for us here, buddy?
Okay. We're at the point now where he doesn't have a car, and I really feel that he's at a real low point in his life where one more thing happens, it's just going to push him over the edge. And we don't know where to go. I mean, do we try to talk to him or just let things go? If we kick him out of the house, because we told him, you know, we don't want an alcoholic living in the house and doing all these things, and we've
So the question is, what do I do now, Tom?
Yeah, that's
all right. There are three elements to this. Your son would have a disorder, I would say. It sounds like there's some entitlement there, and this entitlement says, I deserve something for doing nothing, right? I deserve, you know, laundry and a supportive mom and a house and three squares for doing nothing. It's a problem. And there are three answers to it. We got a break coming. I'm going to give you the three answers and develop them with Jill and Steve on the way back. The three answers are, you got to give him support. Like maybe if he's depressed with alcohol, you got to give him a therapist. You got to probably find a coach or a mentor, and you got to have a plan to leave. We want you to be healthy. Here's the coach. Here's the mentor. And here's the plan. You got 3 months, 6 months. We'll give you first and last rent on an apartment. There must be a plan from day one, and we will develop that. It works.
All right. Hold on. We'll give you some help here. You're listening to New Life Live. Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here. And if you need help, it's 1-800-NEWLIFE or newlife.com.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
You know, one of the great things about TV.NewLife.com is some people will never read a little chapter of a book, but you can put a video in front of them and say, hey, honey, watch this with me. And they'll sit down and they'll watch that five-minute clip. And that five-minute clip may change their lives forever and, of course, may change yours. Here's what one of our viewers on New Life Television said.
We looked at the budget. We decided, you know, I'm not getting those benefits from Netflix. So we canceled Netflix and subscribe to the good stuff.
If you have a problem, we have a program to match that problem, and it's going to provide you hope, help, and healing. You know, I don't know what you're waiting for. You will never find a better value than all of the transforming content that you'll find at tv.newlife.com. Your life will never be the same. We really are proud to be part of tv.newlife.com.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Tom. Tom has a 26-year-old son still living in home, wants to be independent, but hey, he's dependent on alcohol. He's drinking. Dad says alcoholic. I mean, driving while intoxicated. All sorts of problems that we see with millennials who head on back home because, well, they just aren't functioning well. John has a 3-point plan. John, let's develop that.
Yeah, I really want to hear from Jill and you on this, Steve, too. And Tom, this really works. If he is depressed or if he has an alcohol problem, you send him to a counselor, and the counselor is in charge of that. That's the quarterback. That person gets him in 12-step, gets him into recovery, helps him with the depression. That's the healing part. That person's in charge of that. Mm-hmm. And then you got to kind of get a coach. You and your wife have got to get out of the coaching mode because he keeps pushing the independence card at you. So you find a mentor or a business person who, you know, loves kids or whatever from your church or somebody that's accomplished some things. And I'm the person to help. And that coach is the person that helps with, do you need to be in a community college, a trade school, how do you find a job, executive search functions. That's the person that builds the vision and the structure. And then you got to sit down and say, here's our plan. The plan is a leaving plan. We need you out and own your own apartment in 3 months, 6 months, whatever it takes. And we'll give you X amount of if for example, people say, oh, we'll give you the first and last on rent so you can go in and at least get started. And during that time, we hope that you can be – I mean, well, we always – when I work with executives on this, I'll say you can stay as long as you're working your program and searching and either making money or going to school. But you got to be actively doing something. Video games don't count. Hanging out with friends doesn't count. And if you can't do that, you're out in a week. But if you do the program, we'll give you 3 months or 6 months. And then at the end of it, you're ready to go. So the plan is from day one, here's how to leave. We're going to resource you to leave because that is God's plan, is leaving and cleaving, and you want to get them on the program. So that's how it works.
So you could say what you're talking about there, John, is that you make a demand, you develop a plan, and you give him a hand. And that way – that way, he's good, right?
John, so you don't realize that for Steve now, everything is a mini sermon.
Yeah, that's right. But really,
Steve, I just spit my tea.
It has to rhyme.
Spit my tea on the floor, and I'm.
It has to rhyme or start with the same letter.
No, but you have to be able to remember this stuff.
Stars.
No, and it's so, good, it's Steve.
So,
it's good.
So. And his question was, do I do nothing?
Demand, you know,
do I do nothing?
Hand.
You know, so no, you make this demand. Things are going to be different here.
I can't
and,
beat that.
And you're going to have to. Here's the plan to get you out and stuff. And we're going to give you a hand, get a counselor to help you in all this and coach. So you got a 3-point demand, plan, and the hand. And I think that is so different than what some parents do. Mm-hmm. One, nothing, or two, walk in and say, get out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so cruel because you've been part of him, you know, kind of developing this way, and now you're getting realistic. Jill, any thoughts here before
Well, just to add that I think that you let your son know how much you love him and that you are so sorry that you realize you have been approaching things all wrong and that you have gotten some help because you realize that you're at a total loss as well in really helping him to grow and mature in the ways that he needs to and that you hear his words that he wants to be independent and yet you're confused because his behavior says, please take care of me. Mm. And you know that at his age, that really isn't where he needs to be. And so you've gotten some input to develop a plan and a structure for all of you to work at and move forward with.
Yeah, you don't want to nag and because nobody that works. You don't want to sag because that means you're getting discouraged.
No.
And you don't want to tag because that means you're checking out. And we don't want that for you.
No, and the temptation is to lag in anything that you would
lag.
Do. But here's the thing. And I want to say this with all sincerity.
Okay.
At 26, at 26, you're dealing with something that it's painful. It's all of that. And here's the thing. At 26, it's not that big a problem. At 36, it's
problem.
Almost hopeless.
And we've seen it.
And that kid would be so depressed.
Yeah. So
he'd never do anything.
Just whatever you're dealing with, be thinking, I'm dealing with this with my 26-year-old, so I don't have to deal with it with him when he's 36.
Because I had an executive once that I had to have him actually put the young adults' clothing and suitcases and luggage in the driveway and say the trash is going to pick it up because they just refused. I'm not leaving. And so finally the kid picked it up and went and couch surfed for a while with different friends until the friends said, dude, this is getting
old.
Get a life. And then it worked out. And, you know, just think about the prodigal son in Luke 15. Sometimes you got to eat what the pigs eat and then you get reality.
You know what? Most people will not starve. They will figure out a way.
That's really helpful. They
It is. And moms always think, oh, my poor baby, he's going to starve. No, he won't.
And you know what? The everybody kind of picks a perfect excuse not to do something. And you'll hear this all the time. I can't throw him out on the street. Well, John, you used a phrase that actually does happen. When you kick a child out eventually because they won't do anything, they don't go on the street. They go sleep on a friend's couch for a while until then. And then when the friend's finally tired of them, they come back home and say, okay, I'm ready to do the plan. So don't.
And it's quicker than you think. It's often quicker than you think.
There's a term called fragilizing, Tom, which means we make someone more fragile than they are.
And it's our own fear,
and
isn't it?
Our own fears, and we walk on eggshells. And fragilizing is the worst thing you can do to a young adult. You don't make them more brittle than they are. You just go, well, they've got feelings and they'll be upset, but they're not fragile people. If they're suicidal, you take them to ER.
Right.
You know, but fragile just means I'm upset. Don't fragilize your child.
Right. And Tom actually did that. You know, he said, I don't know if he can survive or if he might be at the end of his rope. And so I hope we've encouraged you. Yeah. And I'm going to send you John's book, The Entitlement Cure. And as I said to John, really, you could sum the whole book up in one word. No. But anyway, it's really good.
So we don't have to read it?
No, you need to read it. I'm going to send it to him. And let's go right to our next caller here. And here we go to Irene from one of my favorite cities in the entire universe, Charleston, South Carolina. Hi, Irene. Welcome to New Life. Hi.
Hi there.
What's going on?
I have a question. I want to find out why I blame myself for things and I take things out on myself. I'm in therapy, and it seems like therapy sometimes doesn't seem to help because I feel worse, I guess, when I leave there. But when I'm discussing something like with my husband and he's not in agreement with it, then I start thinking, well, I guess that's just the way I see it, and I see it wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the past there has been a lot of self-harm, and I don't want to go back there again, you know, but I've been fighting this cycle here lately with just turning everything on myself.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't think this takes much wisdom to ask you this question, but who was it back there in your childhood that put everything on you, shamed you, made you believe it was all your fault?
Yeah.
Who was that?
I was abused for 10 years. My mom.
Sorry.
My mom.
Yeah.
And when I was sexually abused at 6 years old, you know, she said, you should have known better. You could have got pregnant.
At 6 years old. Oh, my goodness. Have you gotten any help for any of that? Have you gotten any help for that?
I have. I've been in therapy. I've been in counseling. And I've, you know, tried to work through these things. And I got into a marriage that my husband's not validating either. And he doesn't take responsibility. And he puts it back on me. And I get this thing. He's left off where my mom left off, I guess. He started where my mom left off.
Yeah. You know, I'm so glad you called. And I want John and Jill to help you. But I just want to call something what it is. When a six-year-old is sexually abused and a mother says something other than, oh my, let's deal with this, let's get help,
I'll
here.
I'll protect you.
Mm-hmm. And then when a husband piles on, there's a word for that, and it's called evil. Mm-hmm. It's not dysfunctional, it's not unhealthy, it's just evil for a six-year-old to make feel responsible for something like that. I'm so sorry, but I'm glad you called.
In her comment, I mean, six-year-olds shouldn't even know about those things.
No. So, Jill, why don't you start us off? Mm-hmm. What do you say? How could we help her?
Well, Irene, I'm so sorry for all that you've been through. Mm-hmm. And did you say that you are in counseling now?
Yes, I just started back.
Okay. Good, because I think when things start to flare up, you know, we get help and we go through times of healing. But I really believe that we circle back around through our issues, you know, at a different level than where we started. But there are often new pockets of things to deal with. And that's, you know, at certain times in life, things get stirred up. And so if you're finding yourself slipping back into these old patterns and feeling bad about yourself, really to get in with someone so that you can reflect to them what's going on inside of you, and they can really give you a more accurate picture of yourself. I think, you know, you're seeing that reflection of your mom, and you're not seeing yourself, one, how God sees you, and how others truly see you.
John, any comment here as we go to the break?
Yeah, like the guy said, I'm really sad, too, for you. And God has a process of when people are abused. It's always two things. One is you're loved enough to know that I'm lovable, and the second is I've got power and choices. That's about boundaries. So do the two keys.
All right.
The Take Your Life Back workshop is coming to Washington, D.C., September 8th through the 10th.
This weekend has been a chance to honestly share my feelings and to begin ownership of them, whether they're positive or negative. I learned how to stand up for myself. I experienced positive feelings that I hadn't experienced before.
Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop will teach you how to take charge of your past and your current circumstances so you can look forward with confidence and faith to the road ahead.
This weekend has been just the beginning of taking my life back. I leave with a renewed power to trust in God on a daily basis, a commitment to move forward in my recovery by continually taking my life back.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
If you really want to take your life back, then I would highly recommend it.
Take your life back. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, Dr. John Townsend, Jill Hubbard, and your phone calls. And so, you know, we're talking with Irene. And Irene, I can't encourage you enough to get whatever help it takes to get through this. And, you know, at some point, I think maybe it's after you get some counseling or support or whatever, you've got to say to your husband, hey, we got to get some help together because I have been so hurt in my life and I want to be connected to you in a non-hurtful way. And so you just see if you guys could get together somehow and do something you've never done before. I'm so sorry that he's that cruel. I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice. There's some stuff in there I think is really going to help you, and I'm so sorry for what you're going through. Right now, we're going to go to another phone call here, and it'll be our last call on this program, but we'll do another one afterwards. If you hold on, I'll get to your call. So let's go to Susie. I don't have a lot of time, Susie, but I did want to get to your call from Boise, Idaho, listening on Sirius XM, channel 131, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi there.
Hi.
How could we help you?
Well, I am really embarrassed about myself. I've become a shopaholic, and it runs in my family. We're hoarders, and I don't know what the problem is, but is there a connection between lack of intimacy and this problem?
Okay, and are you married?
Oh, yeah, I've been married a long time,
and
there's definitely
is there a
problem there.
Is there a lack of intimacy?
Yes.
Okay. Well, John, what do you think? I mean,
Susie, the answer is it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Shopaholism and hoarding can are fruit, let's say. They're symptoms or fruit of other issues. And sometimes it's a lack of intimacy. Sometimes it's a sense of being powerless.
Mm-hmm.
And people feel good. It's sort of like it's my... You know,
so like a shot in the arm.
A little shot in the arm. Sometimes people do it because it's a sense of getting away with things, and it's kind of fun. It's like an excitement. Sometimes it's because a person is very hard on themselves and judges themselves, and they can't be real because they have to fake happy all the time. So it's one place that they can feel like they're not judged. So we would have to know more about you. But, yeah, it can be intimacy. But watch out for the thinking that says – there's an old Buddhist proverb. I'm not a Buddhist, but I know the proverb. It says, "Watch out for the person whose only tool is a hammer, for he sees every problem as a nail." So people go, "It's always an intimacy problem, or it's always a self-esteem problem, or it's always a you're not thinking right problem." We would need to know a little more about you, unfortunately, to say whether it is an intimacy problem or not. But my answer is, it could be.
And here's the real thing. It's an ism. Whether it's addiction, alcoholism, whatever. And there's recovery for that. And I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible and hope that that's going to get you in a recovery program. Jill, you have a comment before we go?
Well, just to add that there's some unfulfillment there in life. And a lot of times people are trying to fill that. So it's sometimes the idea of the life that you wished you had. You know, it's kind of like we can buy it. This thing, this something is going to give me that missing piece. Mm-hmm. And so that's another aspect.
And I would pay attention to the it's in my family.
Well, right.
That might be some generational issues of loss of intimacy or dysfunction.
Disappointment.
Yeah, I would go see a shrink and say, hey, I've got a family disorder, and they could really help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you called, and I hope that that's helpful to you. I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible. And, you know, we're just about on the 25th anniversary of that Bible and the 3 millionth copy of that Bible being sold. It's pretty exciting.
You and Dave Stoop changed the world with that thing, Steve.
Oh, I tell you, we have such joy over the letters and the emails. And you can get a copy at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. You can also get a copy of John's book, The Entitlement Cure. It's really the book that addresses, I think, one of the most unaddressed needs in our society right now. And we're going to try to do the best we can to meet that need. But right now, you could get that book by calling us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go to newlife.com. I want John to close with some scripture here in just a minute. But if you love John, and you let us know. If you love him being on the program, let us know. And John, anybody interested in being part of the Leadership Institute or the leadership program that you do, what do you suggest would be something they could do?
DrTownsend.com has all the info, and you might say it's my time to get a degree. I want a degree, a certificate that I can put on the wall and put on my resume. Then you go to the institute. If you don't need that, you've already got your MBA, you got your counseling degree, but you want new skills, join the leadership program and join a team anywhere around the country. And we have intensive 1 day a month experiences where people learn to grow in their EQ as well as their skills.
Well, it's a powerful thing, and it's wonderful that somebody's recognized what we've all known around here for a long time, that John has some very unique wisdom. And if you want to study a degree that would benefit you probably better than any degree I know, if you want to help some folks, it'd be right there at Concordia. Or you get into this personal leadership program with him, and it really does transform your life. Now, let me mention this, that we're all about transformation here, and we can't do it without you. And if you want to help somebody, maybe the best way is do a scholarship for them. But a small gift helps so much, and a gift of any amount. And I'm going to send you Milan and Kay's expanded version of How We Love. We'd love for that to
how
be
much
in your
does
hands.
Does a weekend at EMB cost?
It's about $1,000.
All right, I'm in for one.
There you go. Well, thank you, John. There it is.
So, I've been here for a while, and I love what you guys do.
Well, we appreciate that. You know, and the thing is, it's so wonderful. You help somebody, and then we let you know how that went, and they are so grateful. And to tell you who's really grateful, the wife of the person.
Yes.
They are extremely grateful. Well, anyway, if you can help us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. You could become part of Club New Life, which is a growing group of people that provide the foundation here. And don't forget, Every Man's Battle is coming up August the 11th, Sacramento. And one of you is going to go because John Townsend has said, I want to be part of the transformation of that
person. And I want to hear from you afterwards. I want an email afterwards.
We'll let you know how all of that goes. And any of you, same thing. We'll do the same thing for you. Well, John, help us with a little bit of wisdom as we close out the program. By the way, you can see John's programs on tv.newlife.com. And the next program we do together, I'll play a clip. But he's right there, tv.newlife.com. Just go to John Townsend. He'll search up all of the programs that he's done over the years. But let's close out with some good scripture, John.
Steve, one of the things that keeps New Life going, I think, is an approach that I find is so healthy, which is that change comes when there are two ingredients. One is grace, which is, you know, undeserved merit from other people, and the other is truth, information we need. And I go to John chapter 1, verse 14, where the Apostle John talked about the character of Jesus, and he said he came full of two things. He came full of grace and truth. And I've exegeted the passage, and in the syntax, as an order, is important. It doesn't say he came full of truth and grace. It said grace and truth. So if you want to give somebody truth, make sure you've graced them first. One of the things I noticed about Jill today, the last two times, every time we talked about some problematic person, you always came in and said, well, first, make sure they know that you care and that you want the best for them. And I thought, what a great example of giving someone grace. And then they can hear truth. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we can't metabolize it. We can't digest it because it feels so harsh and mean.
We just hear that we're bad.
And Jill, just great job today on, wait a minute, grace comes before truth, and that's how healing happens. So thank you.
It's so much more powerful than combining time and a rhyme. And I want to be sure that people have access to everything John's doing drtownsend.com. That's where you go. And, you know, Jill has put a lot of wisdom. Secrets Women Keep, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers, mm-hmm. these kind of things, they're available at newlife.com, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can get that. But the main thing is, if you need some help, we've got people, they come to work every day wanting to help folks. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.